My name's Graham Walker, and today I'm rolling back the years to take a look at the 60s Gold Tour 2014. This is a massive 41-day tour featuring legends of the 60s, and it's going to be playing venues including London Palladium, and locally it's coming to Doncaster Dome on Friday, October the 31st, and then Leeds Grand on Sunday, November the 2nd. It features Merseybeat band Jerry and the Pacemakers, The Fortunes, Brian Poole and Chip Hawkes, who are going to be bringing the greatest hits of the Tremolos. And on the bill is my special guest today, some people might call him the controversial, the ponytailed PJ Proby, whose trouser splitting shocked the nation, more on that later, and who was a Melody Maker Teen Idol Award winner in 1964, spending 91 weeks in the charts. So PJ, great to have you on the phone. Can you tell us what fans can expect from the 60s Gold Tour?
A fantastic show. Simple as that. We don't do anything but good. I don't feel any different now than I did in, when I was 25 or 26 or 17 or 18. I don't feel one bit different. But then again, as opposed to the other guys, I never have grown up, and I never will. I've resigned myself to that fact.
Well, I think that's one way of staying young, isn't it? And I just want to remind people, you know, obviously people will realise with the accent that although I think we've claimed you as a Brit for decades now, you actually, you are an American singer-songwriter and actor, that's where it all started out. Can you just remind people how you came over to England?
Well, I was, one of my best friends was Eddie Cochran, and his fiancée Sharon Sheely. I put them on a plane to come over here to do some shows in 59, I think it was. There was an accident, and we lost Eddie. Eddie was killed in the accident. And when Sharon came back, she played me all these movies she had made of the tour and everything with Eddie and Gene and all the English boys, Billy Fury, and Marty Wilde, and all these people that we had never heard of. And she said the producer was Jack Good, and he's going to come over here to California and do the same thing over here that he did in England with his television shows like Oh Boy and 6-5 Special. And there was a knock at the door, and there was Sharon Sheely and Jackie DeShannon, and she said, I've brought that person I was telling you about, Jack Good. This figure comes through into the living room, and I had been having a controversy with Liberty Records. They'd taken all my money away from me, stopped my checks. So I hadn't had a haircut for, about a month or two. And my hair was down to my shoulders. And that was unheard of in those days. Jack just strode over to me, took me and pulled on my hair and said, "My God, it's real. You're hired, dear boy." The Beatles came along, and Jack had known them since 61, 62. He said, "I've got to go over to England and direct their first spectacular, their first TV special." And he said, I'll take your records and play them for the boys and their manager, Brian Epstein. One day I was in my hotel room. I had an argument with my wife and moved out of the house. And this voice came over the phone. "Hello, is that Mr. Proby?" I said, yes, it is. Said, "Vivian Moynihan here from Rediffusion. The boys, the Beatles, and Jack Good and Mr. Epstein would like for you to come over and be on the television special with them." He said, "Would you like to do that?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I would." He said, "I thought as much. I've already bought you a ticket, and it's awaiting you tomorrow morning at Los Angeles Airport." And that was it. I'd had an argument with my wife, and she'd given all my clothes to her boyfriend. And I went to Warner Brothers, where I was a stuntman, and went through the wardrobe, and I stole Russ Tamblyn's boots from Seven Brides and Seven Brothers. I stole Paul Newman's shirt. shirt from Left-Handed Gun, and I took another jacket that belonged to Alan Ladd, is the gentleman, and I didn't realize that Alan was so small until I got back to the hotel and tried the jacket on, and the sleeves, the cuff sleeves, came up to my elbows, so I couldn't wear that jacket, and I had ripped blue jeans, and that was before rips and jeans were a commercial thing. I looked like something out of a John Steinbeck Grapes of Wrath novel. I came over for 15 days under contract to Rediffusion, and this is now 50 years later.
Have you still got the ponytail I cut today?
No. I cut the ponytail off first in about 68 when I was thrown out of England.
We've got to talk about it. I suppose you get sick of being asked about it, but the notorious trouser-splitting incident, I think back in February 65, in Croydon, in Surrey. Now, didn't that lead to you being banned by the BBC theatre chain and on the BBC and the rest? What was all that about?
Barry Whitehouse chimed in. He's an American. He'll do something to get in my bad books and my morals committee, and I'll get him. And then I'll expose him to the people, and that way you can drop him from the tour. So I didn't know it, but money had exchanged hands, and I'd already been bought off the tour. And then when the pants split at my knees and everything, and Mary Whitehouse made a big deal of it being obscene and lock up your daughters and don't let the teenagers of Great Britain anywhere near the theaters if Brophy's going to be on stage.
But the actual trouser splitting, was that an accident or was it intended, PJ?
Oh, it was an accident. If I'd have been wearing Levi's, they would have probably split at some time or another, because I was doing knee slides as I came on stage, knee slides all across the stage. That was part of my act. I didn't just stand there and shake my hair like all the British groups. I did a really boogieing all over the stage, like James Brown at the Apollo and everything.
So when the trousers split, I mean, just remind this generation who can't even remember seeing that. Well, I mean, what did you expose?
My knees.
So why was that such a big deal in its time? It seems a nonsense now.
Well, it was a big deal because nobody had ever seen anybody's knees except on the football player. There's no, boundaries that hold you back from anything nowadays. If my pants split nowadays, my price would go up at the time. I didn't know that anything was wrong. I didn't know that just because my pants had split, I didn't think there was anything wrong in that. So what? The act carried on. And a couple of times when it split, they split to an extent that something might have been obscene or something like that. I had a man at the end of every act, whether they split or not, come out and put a great big robe on me that came down to my ankles, that they've never shown pictures of that either.
So did that become part of the act as well? I mean, it created great PR for you, didn't it?
Fuss that Mary Whitehouse made sure that I never, ever got another tour, and that I never, ever appeared in front of the teenage Great Britain again. I had to go straight to nightclub work up north.
What's the future got in store for PJ Proby?
Every day as it comes. I'm just putting out music every single day of my life. That's why I'm in bed right now. I spend all night in my recording studio making things for the public to sell them on tour. I'm working on a new album right now, and I work in the studio all night and sleep all day.
And the two local dates we've got are Doncaster Dome on Friday, October 31st, and Leeds Grand on Sunday, November the 2nd.
So the Pacemakers are backing me, but I also have backing tracks with all the strings, the violins, and the brass section, making the Pacemakers sounding like they are a 300-piece orchestra. I'm doing all the stuff that I did in the 60s over again. I'm doing the same songs, Maria, Somewhere and Everything, as I would do them today.
PJ, just a final thing. Obviously, you've got millions of fans out there who followed you over the decades. What would you like to say directly to them?
Come on down. Let's have a party.
PJ, thank you for your time.